appreciate your prayers. The Lord would bless his word that he's inspired to my heart this week. I'd like to consider together the thought of in his presence. I'd like to begin in the third chapter of Genesis. Genesis 3, I'd like to begin by recalling a familiar story in the history and the plight of mankind. Beginning in the sixth verse of Genesis 3, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" We see this story from Adam and Eve, a moment in which they disobeyed the voice of God, and they partook of the fruit of the forbidden tree. Their eyes were opened, and more than that, their hearts felt shame, their minds were turned. It was suddenly a very different picture than what it had been. And what I notice in this is that at that moment and after that, the voice of the Lord God that they heard walking in the cool of the day, you know, that's quite a thing. The very God who spoke and said, "Let there be," and that created this world from nothing, that he would even care to talk with mankind. David acknowledged and realized, "Lord, when I consider the work of your hands, your handiwork," and he was left to say, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him?" But that was the Lord's desire from the very beginning, is to have communion with mankind, that mankind could enjoy his presence not as something to be feared, but as something to hold in close and familiar communion with. Now, it doesn't really say prior to this, I believe, that the Lord God talked in the cool of the day with them. But it lets us know that at this moment, this wasn't something new, that this was a familiar and an ongoing experience that they had with the Lord. But it was only at this time that it changed so drastically. And now they didn't welcome the sound of the Lord and his voice that was walking with them. They didn't embrace that. They didn't revel in joy in that presence. Suddenly, because of sin, they feared it. They were ashamed of their own condition, and that was brought into stark relief before the holiness of God. And they hid as a result. Well, the Lord before had talked to Adam, and they had exchanged names of what Adam called the animals that the Lord had created. There was a familiarity that God wanted to have with his creation. They couldn't have fully understood the impact, the implication of disobeying God, nor does mankind today, is he able to fully calculate and understand and appreciate the impact that disobedience against God has. But the Lord is interested in us being able to enjoy his presence. That was part of the penalty of sin, was that mankind was banished from the presence of God. They were barred from the garden because of their sins. And you know, it's still the penalty of sin. God told his people who had rebelled against him in that instance that your sins have separated my face from you. Cause them to not be able to behold the face of God, to be able to be in his presence. And I believe that that'll be part of the horror of hell for every unbelieving soul that chooses to be there. More than the thought of a physical anguish of the pain of hell and a fire, the very fact that it'll be banished from the presence of God completely. You know, even a sinner in this life is able to enjoy the fruit of God's presence, able to have moments of joy and pleasure because of what God has done. God sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. They're able to rise and enjoy the blessing of a beautiful sunrise in the morning. But in that place, forever barred from the presence of God, and the hope and the light and the love and the joy that comes with the presence of God is of the most horrible punishment imaginable. Folks, I purpose not to go there by God's help, by his grace. The scripture says in 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, in the 9th verse, of the punishment of the wicked, that they would be punished and banned from the presence of the Lord. The awful penalty of sin. And in that day, a penalty for which there is no longer any remedy. But that's not what my main burden is here this morning, the thought of being without his presence. I'd like for us to turn to Exodus, the 33rd chapter. Things changed drastically for Adam and Eve and for mankind after the fall. But God was nonetheless still interested in working with his creation. 33rd chapter of, I'm in the wrong book, Exodus. Well, fast forward now to the time when the Lord led Israel out of Egypt, led them on a journey to a land that he promised unto them. And it was shortly after the time here that Moses went up into the mountain, and Israel, in such a short time, forgot about God and turned away from him and commanded, asked that a golden calf be made that they might be able to worship it. I'd like to pick up now in the first verse of Exodus 33. And the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it, and I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee. For thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way. The Lord, after he had witnessed the rebellion of Israel, he told Moses, you go on up. Go up with you and your people. And he even promised, of this covenant that he had promised unto Israel, I'll send an angel before you. You wouldn't be able to go up without it. I'll send an angel with you, but I will not go up in the midst of thee, because you are a stiff-necked people. Well, how did they respond to that? All right, Lord, you got a deal. No. It says in the 4th verse, when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned. And no man did put on him his ornaments. For the Lord said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. That was a horrible thought. That the Lord said, you go up, but I'm not going with you. Folks, if the Lord doesn't go with us, we're in a world of trouble. That shouldn't be a satisfactory proposition for any of us. All right, you can go up through life. You can go on and into the next phase of your life on your own. I'll permit that. I'll even show to the fullest extent that I can my favors unto you. But I won't be with you. Is that good enough for us? Are we satisfied to go up in life without the presence of God? They mourned and lamented and repented and, Lord have mercy. It came to pass, verse 8, when Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And because of the sin of Israel, the tabernacle was taken without the camp. And there it was that the Lord met with Moses. It came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. What a blessing it is to be able to see and witness the presence of God. Now there are different ways in which we can witness this. Israel stood from afar off, the tabernacle having been removed from the camp because of their sin. But nonetheless, they saw that cloud. They saw that the Lord was willing to come and at least speak unto Moses. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast found also grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, and that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Do you hear the urgency of Moses' plea? Lord, if you don't go up with us, don't cause us to go up. Lord, we don't dare go forward without your presence. Lord, please cause your presence to go with us. Shouldn't that be our prayer every day? Lord, I don't dare go into this day without your presence. Lord, cause your presence to go up. You know, we all stand at the precipice of the unknown, also known as the future. I don't know what it holds. I don't know what's in tomorrow. And we who are gathered here today are in different places in our lives. Some that are young and in school. Some that haven't started school. Some that stand on the brink of being married. Some that have started their careers and are working. And others who are parents. And others who are grandparents. And some who are retired. You know, in every phase of our life, how we need the Lord. Lord, go with us. That Moses pleaded for, and thank the Lord, God hearkened. It's still the Lord's desire for His presence to go with His people, to have fellowship with every one of us. I'd like to turn now to the book of Numbers, the 9th chapter. Numbers 9, we're fast forwarding now almost, as I understand it, a year. Numbers, the 9th chapter, in the 15th verse we'll begin. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And it even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was alway. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tent. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. So it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from evening, even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Whether it was 2 days or a month or a year that the cloud tarried, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. The presence of the Lord that Moses had pleaded for. Lord, go up with us. Don't cause us to go up without your presence. And the Lord hearkened to him, and the Lord went before them, as was described here. And it was so important that the presence of the Lord go with them. And they learned that if the presence of the Lord, as represented by the cloud and the pillar of fire, whenever it stays, I stay. Whenever it goes, I go. It doesn't matter if it's in the daytime. It doesn't matter if it's at night. You know what this requires in my mind? Is that there was one central thing in the camp of Israel. One thing to which the first thing in the morning their eyes turned to. One thing before they went to bed that their eyes looked upon. Is the fire still there? Is the cloud still there? Folks, we shouldn't wait in our lives until camp meeting to say, is the cloud still there? Is the fire still there in our hearts and in our lives? And I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but this points to something that the Lord desires for every one of us. That we not go up through life alone. That we not try to go through life in our own strength. In our own ability. That I not count as optional the presence of the Lord. But that I count it as absolutely essential. Lord, I must have your presence. They would look to that to see whenever it started to move that they recognized it. It wouldn't have worked out too good for them if they checked once a week to see if the cloud was still there. Every few months they look and see if the cloud is still there. It might have already departed 2 months and they wouldn't have even realized it. But I believe every day from the reading of this passage, they had their eyes fixed on that cloud and that pillar of fire. Lord, I'll stay here if you want me to stay. Lord, if this is where your presence is, I'm not leaving here. But Lord, whenever your presence moves from this place, I don't want to stay here another day beyond that. Because only by the presence of the Lord was there any difference between them and any other people on the face of the earth. By the Lord's provision, they didn't go hungry. They didn't die of thirst. Even their shoes did not wear out under their feet. By the blessing and the favor and the presence of Almighty God, that wouldn't have been the case without the presence of the Lord going with them. You know, there can be places in our lives, in our walk with the Lord, that the Lord keeps us right where we're at. And oh, it's wonderful and it's sweet and it's precious. You know, when a babe in Christ gets saved, you know, the Lord wants just that sweetness to fill their heart and their experience. And just to feel like I could just stay here forever. This is wonderful right here. You know, the time will come that the Lord will say, as he did to Israel at Sinai, you've been here long enough. It's time to pack up and go. You know, that can be a scary thing. I've never left here. This is where I'm comfortable. This is where I found the blessing of the Lord to be. But when the Lord says go, and when the presence of the Lord goes before us, we don't dare to stay behind. And yet we can. We can choose and get comfortable right in the place where I'm at. And say, I kind of like it right here. I kind of set my tent right up, everything just how I want it. I really don't feel like packing up and moving again. But folks, again, we have to see the presence of the Lord as vital, as essential. Lord, I don't want to live a day without the benefit and the blessing of your presence. Look at the next chapter in the 11th verse. It came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year that the cloud was taken up from off of the tabernacle of the testimony. And this was, I believe, at about almost the 12-month mark. You know, we may not always understand. Well, Lord, we've been here now for a long time, and yet we're still here. You know, it can be in even a place of trial or hardship that I say, Lord, I've been here long enough. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get out of this place. I don't want to stay here any longer. You know, believe one song says, how firm a foundation that he will sanctify to us our deepest distress. Do you know how that's sanctified? By the presence of the Lord in that distress. That I have to be in a place that I say, Lord, I'm willing to stay right here if this is where your presence is going to be. And as Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. You know, that can and should be every one of our prayer as well. Lord, if you want me to stay in this difficult place, then Lord, my prayer is this, show me your glory through it. Lord, help me to see your presence right here. Because if I decide, I'm done with this, I'm moving on, you know, we'll find things begin to dry up. It may be easy. You remember in one place that said of Israel that the Lord gave them their request, but he sent leanness to their soul. Folks, we can start to get out of, we can start to wander and drift away from where the blessing and the presence of God is in our life. And I can find that things begin to dry up. The things begin to get barren. Now I want us to realize as we go along that this is about more than emotion. It's about more than feeling where we're at today. The Lord's interest and his desire is that he goes with us every day of our lives. Do we have promises to that effect? Brother Rick, what's the promise the Lord gave you as your face was burned? I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee, he said, I believe, the second time as the Lord visited Brother Rick there. Has his promise ever failed? Will it ever? No matter what we go through, and I appreciated the Sunday school lesson this morning, the Lord is able to deliver us from our fiery furnaces, from our lion's dens, from our places where the oppressor is coming. He can let us down by a basket or what. The Lord is able to deliver us. The key is for me to stay in the place where the Lord's presence is. That I don't dare to stray from that, to choose or rebel and say, you know what, I just to treat it as like Esau did. This is kind of spiritually like our birthright. That as many as received the Lord, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. And it's available to every one of us. What a blessing. You don't have to be born in Israel over there in the Middle East. To everyone that receives the Lord, to them gives He power to become the sons of God. But let's not ever treat that lightly like Esau did. Where he despised his birthright. And that word despised doesn't mean that he looked at it and he thought about it and he said, I hate that. I wish my father would never give me that. But instead he lightly esteemed it. He didn't count it a very high value. Whenever we begin to lose sight of the value of God's presence in our life, you know, other things will begin to get more and more appealing to us. Other things will begin to entice us and draw us away from and out of the very presence of God. What would we give in exchange? Folks, what is the presence of the Lord worth in your life? In your trial? In your battle? Every one of us are going to face battles and trials and hardships in life. Saved and unsaved. Folks, do you want the presence of the Lord to be there with you? When you're in your trial, people get bitter against the Lord for, Lord, I'm serving you, and this has happened, and that's happened. You know, there are awful things that happen to the unbeliever as well, and what do they have if they won't turn to the Lord? Folks, we can't afford to lightly esteem, to count as not very valuable the presence of God in our life. So for us today, do we walk with the Lord daily? I'm not talking about a notion. I'm not talking about a profession. I'm talking about a reality in our experience that I have fellowship with the Lord, communion with Him. Folks, how long has it been since you've seen the fire? How long has it been since you've seen the cloud? How long since the Lord stirred you and said, it's time to move. It's time to move up. It's time to get a little bit closer. There's some more things that I want to show you. How attentive are we to the presence and the voice of the Lord? Do we recognize whenever that cloud starts to lift? Do we recognize whenever it starts to move? Or are we so focused on our things and our camp that I don't even realize, and morning and evening goes by and 3 days go by and a week goes by and I haven't even thought about, is the presence and blessing of the Lord still with me? The Lord wants us to walk with Him every day of our life. That this would be a reality in our experience and walk with Him. The Scripture says in Psalms, the 27th chapter, wait. Wait on the Lord. Folks, we don't dare take a step in life without the Lord, without waiting upon Him for guidance, for His blessing, for His approval. I don't know how to bring out that this encapsulates the essence of what living for the Lord is. It's not about, well, what does the church say? Well, what would the preacher think if he saw me? It's about, Lord, I want Your presence more than anything else. Lord, it doesn't matter what my mind might try to rationalize or justify. Lord, if I recognize in my soul that I'm getting lean, if I recognize that the path that I'm starting to take, Lord, it doesn't seem like Your favor and Your blessing and Your anointing is upon me. Lord, it seems like it's lifting from me with the choices that I've been making in life. Folks, it's for us to stop and say, Lord, Lord, where is your presence? Lord, I want to see your glory. I want to be able to go where you want me to go and stay when you want me to stay. But how attentive are we to the voice and the presence of the Lord? Judges, the 16th chapter. Read about a story of something that, in a sense, sends chills down me. Judges, the 16th chapter. This is the story of Samson. You won't read all of his story, but you no doubt remember it. Samson had a special calling upon him and a special blessing upon him. With that came a special unction or power, say anointing, that would come upon him, that he had strength that was superhuman. And we know the things that he did, was able to accomplish as a man, because the favor and blessing of God would come upon him. But he, like Esau, started to count it as a thing not very special, as a thing not very sacred. And he began to use it for his own purposes. He began to count it and attribute it unto himself, as opposed to unto God, to think of it as his own strength. Whenever the Philistines would come up against him over and over again, and he would rise up as he did before, and he would break the cords and the things that have been done to it, no problem. Just laugh it off. The time came that changed. 20th chapter of Judges 16. She said, Delilah, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep. Now this wasn't the first time, remember, that this had happened. And he said, I will go out as at other times before. No problem, I've done this before. I've been in some close scrapes before, and I've come out of them just fine. Nothing to worry about here. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Folks, is it possible that we can get into a place that the presence and approval and favor of the Lord is no longer resting on my life, and I don't even realize it? I've been so inattentive to it. You see, it's been a process. I've started to turn from it more and more. I've started to, just little, by degrees, I've started to kind of move away from it, to the point that the reality of God's presence in my life is no more. It's lifted, it's gone, and I don't even realize it. He didn't until he was taken captive and his eyes were put out. What I believe the Lord wants to challenge us with this morning is, let us not ever get into such a place. Lord, help us to never get into a place that the presence and the blessing of the Lord, it really isn't there now. And yet I go on like always before, just like another day. I rise up and I still go about my duties like never before. I learn to cope. I learn to deal in my own strength, in my own abilities. Not even realizing that the blessing of the Lord is no longer upon me. The presence of the Lord has been manifested in different ways throughout time. When you think about it, of the presence of the Lord, it was lost in Eden. It was glimpsed by the patriarchs. They got glimpses of it. They were able to, the Lord would come and he'd meet with them from time to time. It was sought for by Moses, but it was entered into by Jesus Christ. And just like the Lord told Moses, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Whenever we are living and have entered into the presence of the Lord, There is spiritual rest that comes with that. Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross, made a way. He made access into the Holy of Holies. He opened the way that the disciples soon found fulfilled on the day of Pentecost when they were filled by the Holy Spirit. Folks, this isn't to just be a doctrinal, theological thing, but a reality in every one of our lives that we are to be filled with the Spirit and walking in the Spirit from day to day. There is a blessing and a favor to it, and we are able to enjoy really so much more than what the patriarchs did. They could see the pillar of fire and the cloud. Moses was even able to talk to the Lord as face to face in that meeting with the Lord. But Paul talked about the contrast in 2 Corinthians 3:18. He said, "Now we with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed from glory to glory." We don't have to have a veil over our hearts and over our minds anymore. The veil of sin and of carnality that separates, that confuses, that blurs my mind from being able to see the very presence and image of God. The Lord wants us to be able to see Him. Numbers. Let's look at the 6th chapter of Numbers. This is a prayer that I have for myself and for each one of us. Number 6. The 24th verse. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. O Lord, shine Your countenance upon us. Cause Your face to shine upon us. If you read and look at the Hebrew word, or said, "My presence shall go with thee," unto Moses, in the Hebrew, that actually says, "My face" or "faces" shall go with you. The Lord wants us to be able to behold His face. Now, mention that what we have is better than what they were able to enjoy, and it is. But it's also a walk of faith. What we're talking about here, being in the presence of the Lord, is not measured by emotion. It's not measured by alone, by whether or not I feel the presence of the Lord in this moment. Because the Lord leads us to places that the only way that I can grow is by the Lord withholding my ability to feel, like Job said, "Lord, I look on the right, I look on the left, before, behind, I don't see You. Nevertheless, You know the way that I take." That we can know by faith. And the thing about what John wrote, he talked about having a confidence and a boldness if we love Him. That we can have a confidence and a boldness even in the day of judgment. You know where we start to get in trouble is when our love for the Lord starts to grow cold. And in that, we'll find a place where our mind starts to get more and more confused of where exactly am I? Where I start to get into a place where the allurements of this world start to pull harder and harder. Folks, let's love the Lord with all our heart. That surpasses our feelings, our emotions in the moment. But that I can have an assurance. And I believe John also said in his epistle that if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. That we can come boldly to the throne of grace. That as I come and I bring myself before the Lord, again, not just every few months, but in this daily walk with the Lord. "Lord, were You pleased with how I handled that? Lord, are You satisfied? Lord, would You show me if there's anything in my life?" And we know, Paul said, that if in anything we're otherwise minded, God will reveal that unto us. So don't become servant to your emotions. Don't allow whenever the enemy comes in and tries to say, "Well, you know, you haven't really felt this just bubbling joy in your heart for a little. What's wrong with you?" It is for me to say, "Lord, if there's something in my life that's hindering Your blessing and Your favor, Lord, show me and I'll take care of it." But Lord, if not, I'll stand by faith until I see that cloud removed. And I say, there it is again, praise God. Folks, this is a walk by faith. We see through a glass darkly. Even though we can behold Him with open face, it says, as in a glass, it is not as it will be in that day if we'll be faithful to God till the end. There'll be no more faith. There'll be no more parables. There'll be no more sayings that we have. Lord, is this quite? No, I can see for myself. And it'll all be open and evident and apparent in a moment. What glory will fill our souls? Let's close in the 16th chapter of Psalms. What accompanies the presence of God? Folks, heaven. Heaven's about more than sitting on a cloud strumming a harp. Heaven is about uninterrupted access to the presence of God. Eternity without end. And what do we find in His presence? The 16th chapter of Psalms tells us, the 11th verse, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Thank the Lord. Folks, do you want to dwell in such a place? Lord, I want to be in Your presence. Because from His presence is light, life, joy, pleasures forevermore, without restriction or limitation that the veil of this body limits us to. You ever felt the glory of God? Folks, again, this isn't about, I'm not talking about a euphoria that we feel 24/7, where I am always around the clock, just feel like praising God. But folks, have you had the Lord come in in such a way that it just lightens your heart? Lightens, it seems like, the very room where the very glory of God, Lord, I can feel it. I remember a time after I had some struggles throughout my teenage years, and I came to the Lord, and just like Paul said to the Corinthians, what clearing of yourselves. I remember the joy that filled my heart and the clearness, Lord, I am ready to go. And I remember saying, Lord, would You just cause the end of the world to come now? Lord, I'm ready. I know that I am. But you know, the Lord has a better plan than that. I don't have to save you and bring the world to an end so that you're not corrupt. No, My presence will go with you. And He'll cause His face to shine upon us. Yes, folks, there are going to be some dark valleys. Yes. There are going to be some dark and lonely nights. Well, folks, turn your face to the Savior. Hold on to Him. Don't cast away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Folks, there is pleasure in the presence of God. There is a blessing and there is joy that comes from the presence of God. Pray for me. Amen.